Our scripture reading tonight is Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of evil with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, as always, we ask you to be present with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, we would love for you to press your word into our hearts, even into the hearts of these little ones who don't even understand what's going on yet, God, that you would already be pressing your word into their heart. God, we long to hear you speak, to bring your word alive in us and through us. So we ask that by your spirit you would do that tonight, that you would have the loudest voice in the room, that you would show us your truth, that you would show us your glory, that you would draw us deeper and deeper into you, because we've been here together in your presence, because we've heard your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love Psalm 39. It's one of my favorite psalms, and I say that about probably 110 of 150 psalms. But it's such a beautiful psalm. And, you know, in Lent, we've been talking about our hearts. We've been looking at scripture passages every Thursday in Lent that deals with our heart. Because Lent is a time when we look at our heart. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of repentance. And we've talked a lot about that word and how we've somehow made the word repentance an angry, ugly, finger-pointing word, when that is exactly the opposite of what it is. Repenting is to turning around, to doing an about-face, if you will, to coming home to the God who loves us and longs to have his way in our lives. So repentance is actually a beautiful word. It's a word where we get to drop all the baggage that we carry and run home to the arms of the one who loves us best. I'm hitting her with my microphone cord. She's not liking that at all. And so tonight we really want to look at these last two verses of the psalm, where David asks God to search him and to know his heart, to try him and to know his anxious thoughts and to see if there is any offensive way in him and lead him in the everlasting path. But I think instead of just looking at those two verses, it's vital that we look at the entire psalm, because it lays the groundwork for David's ability to pray that heartfelt prayer. Because let me tell you, that's a scary prayer. If you pray that prayer and mean it, God is going to do things in your life and in your heart. And you don't always know what that's going to be. I've seen that in my own life. When I've prayed that prayer, I come away astounded at the thing God shows me and the things that God wants to move and shape and reshape in me. So we can only pray those words in the context of the way David knew God and the way that we are able to know God even more fully through Jesus Christ. He starts out, he says, "Already, God, you've searched me. Already, you know me. You know what I do when I get up, when I lie down, when I sit, when I stand. You know everything about me." He goes on to talk about God's incredible love, God's incredible presence, that he is everywhere. David says, "Where could I go, God, that you would not be? If I go up to the heavens, surely you're there. If I go down to the depths of hell, even there, God, I will find you, because your light brings the darkness alive. Nowhere is there I could go to hide from you, God. And also nowhere is there I could go that you would not be there first." You know, Tom's mom is suffering with some dementia, and she's has really good days and really bad days. And that's one of my prayers for her, that she will know that wherever she goes, God goes there first, that he's already been there, and he goes before her. There's this beautiful comfort, again, a prayer I pray for myself, I pray for my children, I pray for my grandchildren, I pray for my entire family. God, David says, you hem me in from before and behind. I'm surrounded by you, and then you lay your hand on me, your hand of blessing, your hand of protection. I am completely encompassed in your presence and your love. God, you knew me, you saw me when I was yet unformed, while you were forming me in my mother's womb. You knew all about me. And I can't read those verses and not think about Joan Kenya and the way she prays for people sometimes. When it's an in-depth, crazy prayer that she doesn't even know what to put into words, she says, "You know all about them, God, and what they need." And so it's David saying here, "You know all about me, God, and you love me, and I'm precious to you. How great are your thoughts, O God?" And a lot of manuscripts, the inference there is, "How great are your thoughts about me, O God, more numerous than the grains of sand." God's thoughts toward us are precious and beautiful. That's the God that David comes before and says, "Search me, O God, and know me." This God whose love is undeniable and unbelievable and all-encompassing. This God whose love is powerful and life-changing, whose presence is a promise to us that he will not let us go. He will not let us go somewhere where he will not be. And then we come to this part right before this beautiful prayer that I always wish David didn't say these things, because they make me uncomfortable. He says, out of this beautiful prayer where you're knitting me together in my mother's womb, you know all about me, all the days ordained for me, you know them all. And then he says this, he says, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, God. Oh, how I hate those who hate you." And those verses always make me uncomfortable. I don't want them to be in the psalm. I don't want David or me or any of us to have those kind of feelings. Even though David's rejoicing that he hates those who hate God, we know Jesus' words, what we're to do with our enemies, right? Hate those. The ones that hate us, we love. The ones who persecute us, we bless. And so we hear these very raw, very honest words of David, and they make us cringe a little bit. And I don't think it's an accident that right before David prays that prayer, he says those words. He talks about those who are God's enemies, those who do the things that God doesn't want them to do, those who have forgotten all about God. And it's almost like he stops himself and he checks himself and he says, "You know what, God? Search this heart. Know me. Know my heart, God. Search this mind, these anxious thoughts, and see if there's any evil, wicked, offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting path." I wonder how many times in my life, after I think a thought against somebody else, when I judge somebody else's motives, when I feel like I want to hate, maybe that's the biggest time I need to pray that prayer. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious mind, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting path. It's a prayer, I said before, that's a powerful prayer, because if we ask God to do it, he will do it. And that's why we pray it only in the context of knowing that God loves us, that God never lets us go, that God already knows all about us and continues to love us, that he's not surprised by the things that are buried in our hearts, even though sometimes we are, as he exposes them to us. I've had a couple times in my life over the past couple years where I've had to deal with somebody not in my family. There have been a couple times when I've had to deal with somebody, not somebody in my family, but someone I have to deal with on a somewhat regular basis who drives me crazy. And I believe very strongly that Jesus teaches us how to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, Father, if there is any way that this cup can pass from me, let it. But not my will, but your will. So I feel like we are free to ask God to do the very thing that we want him to do, always realizing that God's going to work within his will. So when I have to deal with people who frustrate me and make me want to pull out my hair sometimes, my first prayer often is, you know what, God, could you just move that person on out of my life? And two times in my recent future, God has not done that. And he has continued to have me be in a situation where I deal with somebody who frustrates me. But here's the crazy thing. I could tell you very easily what the problem is with that other person. My behavior, I always think, is spotless, you know? I'm always in the right, and the other person is always in the wrong. And as I pray for more of God, as I pray for God to search me, as I continue to pray about the situation, and this is another thing that I love about prayer, because, you know, prayer changes circumstances, and it's astounding. But the most astounding thing about prayer is it changes us. When we bring our heart before God, and we stand in his presence, and we ask him to move in our lives and in our circumstances, he does. And we're overwhelmed by that. Thank you. And so as I've prayed in these difficult situations, God has started to do something very interesting, and that is to bring to my attention places in my heart that God needs to change. Places in my heart where I need to say, okay, God, you need to come in and know this messy heart, and you need to fix this place. And we find in the middle of our frustrations, in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of situations that we feel are never going to change, God's not helpless. God's not sitting idly by seeing what our patience count looks like. He's working in us, in the good, in the bad, in the middle of the really hard times, in the middle of the good times, to conform us to the image of our Son, because he loves us for who we are. He knows all about us, and he loves us anyway, but he loves us enough to want us to be the people that he's calling us to be, wanting us to be able to lay down the things that get in our way, and to have him transform us into the people that he's called us to be. And so we get to do that when we pray this prayer. And God brings these things to our mind, these places in our lives we never, ever saw before. And we get to lay it down and invite him in and watch him change who we are. And so as we approach this Easter season, this Passion Week, as we walk through Lent, as we approach this time in Lent, I believe God is inviting us to pray this prayer, to ask him, where God's inviting us to ask him to search our hearts, to show us what it is that he wants to show us, so that surrounded by his good presence, surrounded by his love, we're able to offer that up to him. I had a challenge this week as I was reading in the book of Jonah, and you know, God calls Jonah to go preach repentance to the Ninevites, and you know, Nineveh was a terrible city. There were all sorts of atrocities going on and all sorts of idol worship and sacrificing their children, and it was a terrible, terrible place. And Jonah didn't want to go, you know the story, and so he fled, and he wound up in a ship, and he got thrown overboard and wound up in the belly of a great fish. You know, I don't know what Jonah's heart was. If he didn't think that the Ninevites would hear him, if he thought maybe he would get killed, or maybe if he just thought that they were too bad for God's grace, that they did not deserve God's grace. And you know, when I read that this week, I was so aware of how many people in my life that I'm slow to give grace to. You know, it's easy to love the people who are kind, the people who do the right things. But what about people who do things that we think are so terribly wrong? What do we do when there are people who we watch them and we see how they hurt people with their words and their actions? And I realize in those moments that I am slow to want to see those people receive God's grace. I want them to receive justice, the due penalty for what they've done. I do not want them to receive grace. Yeah, my Christian church hands would be, of course I want everyone to have grace, but in my heart of hearts, I struggle with that. And who knows that I wouldn't, like Jonah, run someplace else. And I will never see those places in my heart if God's Spirit doesn't bring them to light. We're well aware of other people's motives. We're not aware of our own motives until God shines the light of his Spirit on them. And that's what he longs to do, not just in Lent, but Lent is a very good time to quiet our souls and to ask God. And that's sort of what David's asking him here. Shine your brightest flashlight on my heart, on my mind, on my thoughts, and show me, God, what I need to give to you. Show me the area that you long to transform me, where I spend so much time being frustrated or aggravated, and you long to give me peace. Search me, oh God. Know my heart. Try me and know these crazy, anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting path. Will you pray it with me? Lord God, we are so thankful for your love. We're so thankful that, as our friend Joan would say, you know all about us, and you love us anyway. God, we're so thankful that you don't send us anywhere, that you don't go before us. Lord, that there's no place we can go that you're not with us. God, we thank you that you hem us in from before and behind, and you lay your hand on us, that we're covered by your love. And so, God, secure in that love, confident in your grace, Lord, we ask you to shine your brightest flashlight in our hearts. God, show us the places where we are getting in our own way. Show us the places that we are holding back from you. God, show us the places where we are carrying burdens and frustrations and aggravations that you never planned for us to carry. God, that we might give them to you, that we might invite you in, that you might take these hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh instead. God, that you might have your way in our lives, that we would see you transform us from glory to glory to glory to glory until we come face to face with you. And we're at that moment the people that you've created us to be. God, help us not to be afraid of what we might see. God, help us not to rationalize and make excuses, but help us just in complete trust of your love and your good plans for us to let you have your way in our heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.